Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Warning, this episode contains foul language and discussions about drug use, depression, and murder.
Listening to Keep It Weird, the podcast for all things strange and unusual, creepy and crawly, supernatural and sassy, and sometimes a little Cajun. Each week we get to sit down and chat about something weird, and this week is no exception because it's the second week of October and we are going to one of the spookiest places in America. Previously on Keep It Weird, we've introduced you to the Rougarou, a hairy wolf-like beast that stalks the swamps, Jacques Saint-Germain, who never seemed to eat, just drank red wine from a cup, and even Madame Delphine Lalaurie, a woman so evil her home is supposedly still haunted hundreds of years later. Today we're heading back across the Mississippi River into the bayou for a deeper look at Louisiana. My name is Ashley, and this is my co-host, Lauren.
Hello, weirdos.
And today we are joined by a very special guest, an absolutely hilarious comedian, one of my all-time favorites to watch, and an actress whose recent credits include Dead to Me, The Purge, and you saw her tending bar in American Horror Story, Red Tide. It's Jen Kober.
What's up, weirdos?
Hi, Jen.
I fucking loved seeing your name in that American Horror Story font. I'm not going to lie.
You and me both.
Yeah, was
do you
that
like that show?
Feeling?
I do not like that show.
Okay.
I did not. I watched my name in the opening credits and I was like, right on.
Right. Peace.
And then I just was done.
And then you're out. Peace out.
My scenes weren't terribly bloody, so I was able to like fast forward to them somewhat.
Right. Yeah. The bar was pretty tame.
You looked great in that bar.
Excuse me. Thank you. One night we were filming and the director says, Cue the waitress, and I go, I'm the manager, because that was my role title, was manager. And I screamed it back at him, and I thought he was going to fall out of his chair. He was laughing so hard. But I mean, you know, like there had to be some levity with all. It was so.
So heavy.
So it's very, very heavy. And but it was lovely to work with most of those people.
Yeah, okay. For sure.
Well, good. The majority.
The majority of the people. I think that's what I love about American Horror Story, though, is that it is very heavy, very dark, but so gay.
So gay.
So it makes it, like, it nice and light.
That's what I kept thinking is, like, can you believe that the same mind that created Glee created this? You know what I mean?
It doesn't match up.
And then I'm watching Impeachment at the same time, and I'm like, right. He also did this. Like, it's so... that man's brain is to be admired and revered. He is a brilliant creator.
He can really do it all.
Yes.
Gotta give it to him.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. I know about you. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
So I'm a comedian and an actor and a writer, and I'm from Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Lake Charles.
I live here in the beautiful Santa Monica now because I'm on TV. So it's been a minute for me. I haven't been back to Louisiana a lot because of all the, I don't know if y'all heard about this plague. It's not, they don't really believe it's happening in Louisiana. Sure. It's a hoax there. Right. But it's a very powerful hoax that's killing people.
Yeah, so very, much like voodoo.
Yeah, yes.
So, extremely powerful.
You know, people down there are so much more ready to believe that someone died from like a spirit
right.
overtaking them uh-huh. than like
than a virus. Possessed.
A virus that they just didn't wear a mask for. So.
Right. Classic South and Midwest. I mean, I'm from Southern Illinois, so it's
which
a little
might as
different.
Well be the South.
Might as well
seriously.
Be.
It might as well be,
it is.
Be the South.
Southern Illinois
there's
absolutely
a,
feels
there's
like the
there's a Cracker Barrel very near your hometown.
Hell yeah, there is.
That I stop at all the time because I would drive from Louisiana up to Chicago. I went to college in Chicago. So I'd make that drive a million times. And there's a Cracker Barrel down there. And while I was in the Cracker Barrel, the girl says to me, I ordered a cheeseburger. And she says, "Y'all maters on that." And I was like, "I'm sorry, what? You don't maters on that?" I'm sorry, I don't. I'm not
say
understanding the word.
Is that
you're
a regional
going, maters?
Dish.
Like maters? Like lettuce and maters? I go, "Are you saying tomatoes?" Because a mater was
maters.
And then when she asked me if I wanted a potato, she said taters. So oh I just my. Call that the land of maters and taters.
Maters and taters.
Maters and taters.
We don't have time to say the full word. We got
I
places
understand.
To be. We got people to see.
That waitress
life is
was
short.
Busy.
Life is short.
Life is
get
short.
Get to the point.
And language is tricky. So
maters.
I just maters was, you know, we have, because I always say Louisiana and people are always like, "That's how I can tell you're from there because you say Louisiana." Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, whatever. I get it. The extra yeah. syllables are unnecessary, but.
Do you know what our thing is that's weird?
What?
We don't say to be. So we'll say my hair needs washed or my hair needs brushed. Or my car needs washed. My clothes yeah. need washed.
Yeah.
And we didn't even, her and I, she's from Illinois too. We didn't know each other there.
Just
but,
from like smack dab in the middle. But
yeah. And we didn't notice this. And then Joe was like, Joe's like the grammar police.
Of
yeah.
course
and
he is.
And he's like, when the cat would come up and I'd be like, "Gabby wants held." And he's like, "That's not a sentence." And I'm like,
it's not how people
where
speak.
Where I come from.
You know what's so
don't
funny
have
is
time.
My ex, who still lives down there in the middle of a swamp,
oh
like a crawfish pond, literally. Every time she'd see somebody or something funny or what, she'd go, "Look her.
Look her.
She never said look at whatever. She'd be no. like, "Look this one." Look like, it. You know what I mean? Just
no
so,
time to say
so
at.
So I get it. Sometimes you leave out words.
You know.
That's part of it. It
which
can
is
get
so
you into
funny
trouble.
Because it's such a slow life compared right. to, say, Los Angeles,
New York City.
Yeah.
There's no hustle
Chicago.
And bustle. You should have all the time.
You know what it is? We're hot. We're
sure.
hot.
So hot.
You're
so
sweating
hot.
And humidity.
Everything feels so heavy. Like, just one extra syllable is like.
It's too much. It'll
no,
break my back.
I can't.
Don't make me say it. Yeah.
Don't make me so, say to be.
We're just looking for the quickest way to communicate to yeah. you what we're doing.
What we need.
Yeah.
Do you say New Orleans? I can't even say it. That was a terrible
New
Orleans.
New Orleans.
New Orleans.
So you even put yeah. another syllable than I've heard. I feel like some people just are straight.
New Orleans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
New Orleans.
But and I say Louisville.
Louisville. Yes.
For mm-hmm. Louisville.
Sounds
and
like
Louisville. And you know, there's a couple of spots in Alabama that you got to know a little bit of Native American language to pronounce. Mm-hmm. Like there's just a lot of there's so many influences in the South. Right?
Right.
Like, right.
Like what happened was white people invaded the Northeast. Right?
Yeah.
But and trickled.
Everybody else, the brown people were like, "It is cold here. Let's go find some warm weather like we're used to."
To the
and they all went south. So the South, while being incredibly segregated, like
yeah.
so much of the country, right. is also there is diversity there.
Yeah.
There's just not a lot of integration of diversity there.
Sure. Yeah.
So there's plenty of good people from everywhere. I mean, you go to New Orleans, there's a huge Filipino community there.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, what?
When did this,
when did this where'd you guys come from?
What? You know, like you go to Houston, there's a huge Vietnamese population there. I used to go to this place in Houston and get one of those big banh mi sandwiches, those Vietnamese banh mi. Oh,
that's so good.
It was huge. It was bigger than anything, any foot long at the Subway. It was ginormous on like a loaf of French bread. It was $3. It was $3.
So we like,
I mean,
to
this
see.
Wasn't like in the 90s. This was like a year ago when I was there. Like, they're just these huge pockets of, you know, diversity in the South that what happens is because they don't feel accepted by the white people that are there, they kind of stick to themselves. And so they have these little communities where they're all, they're speaking their language, they're cooking their food, they're doing their whatever. And they've got little sections of town, you know, and it's, while it's, I don't think it's ideal, it certainly is delicious.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
It really does help with the food scene.
Eat well when you're there.
And it really helps to know exactly where to go to get that food.
Yes. It does help. Like, this neighborhood.
You wouldn't think that. Every time I would go to Texas, I'd be like, give me some barbecue. Let's find some Tex-Mex.
Right.
And then somebody's like, you want to go hit the Vietnamese sandwich place? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And then they tell me you can get a whole sandwich for, and it's like the best sandwich you've ever had.
Banh mi is so good.
So good.
So my really good place my college town, Carbondale, Illinois, has the best Thai food place I've ever had in my life.
You did
in Southern
that.
Illinois Thai food.
There's like, where they come from? University like, there.
Yes,
in Carbondale.
There is
that
a
I
university.
Play.
yeah, that's where I went to college.
Oh, look at you! I wouldn't have thought you did that.
ma'am,
what do you have a degree in?
Communications. It's pointless.
And look, you're using it.
It's pointless.
True.
We're literally using it.
That's true.
It's pointless.
You are communicating.
You did the sound engineering for this whole flipping thing.
No, you're right.
You're
communicating. But I did sort of.
You've typed up pages.
I did
Things
type
are
up
happening.
Pages. Yeah. You know what? I am using my degree. Thanks, SIUC.
It is
Don't
funny
ask me for money.
Whenever Ashley is like, man, I can't believe I like fully taught myself how to podcast and edit and do all this. I'm like, that is literally like what you did in school. It does make sense.
So you kind of already answered this question I had for you, because I saw on October 20th you're headlining the Hollywood Improv with a show called Horror Nerd. So are you not a huge horror movie fan?
Not only am I not a horror – they've only asked me to headline this show because I was on American Horror Story. Mm-hmm. And the girl was like, I'm such – like, please, please, please. I was like – okay, but listen, I'm not.
But listen, I don't have
what
anything.
What I'm going to talk about is what a pussy I am. I don't like, here's the thing. I can scare the shit out of myself. I don't need your help. I don't need you to put those images in my head because I see them a
I'm
lot.
I'm scared
so
already.
I saw a preview for this La Brea show. Mm-hmm. Hello, I don't need to see this show. But the
Nobody
earth just
does.
Opens up on La Brea and they end up like falling through the earth and then they're in like another reality. They don't really die. But I have dreams where I am falling. We're driving and all of a sudden we're off the mountain and I'm like, well, we're about to crash. We're clearly, this is, and it's the moments like right before that happens. And so that kind of stuff scares me. I don't want to see it.
Yeah.
I don't want to reiterate that in my head. I don't want to keep that image alive for myself. I probably shouldn't have even just said it out loud. But I mean,
I'm going to manifest
that,
it.
Exactly. Yeah. That is the kind of thing that I'm like, okay, I need to, I have to go watch like 10 episodes of Ted Lasso. And 10 more of like Schitt's Creek just
cleanse
to like
just
get
to cleanse
myself
your brain
into like a happy place. I did a lot of microdosing over the pandemic. It wasn't something I knew existed. And then somebody was like, you know, you can take small amounts of hallucinogenic mushrooms every single day. And I was like, what?
Excuse me?
Well, you know what? I'm not doing anything for like 15 months or so. So let's just get this guy. I didn't do it for very long. I really only did it for about 2 months. And I didn't do it every day.
Did you notice a positive
really,
change?
It really reset my happy button. I had gotten to
I've
a place.
I've always wanted to do it.
I had just gotten to a place where between, and I don't know if you guys remember, I did it summer before this past one. So the summer of 2020, where I'm sure you remember, it felt like the world was on fire.
Oh, it sure did.
We were having the hot, literally the physically hottest days ever.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
It was constant protesting in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
On every street. It wasn't even like, oh, they're protesting downtown. No, bitch, they're in your yard.
Yeah.
They're right here.
They're everywhere.
They were right here. Every day. It's all of this. And I was one of those people that turned on the news right when they woke up in the morning. Mm-hmm. and you start
God only
living,
knows what happened last night.
You're living the fucking
night.
Horror story. Exactly. Yeah. What did this maniac do while I was sleeping?
Seriously. It what felt did he like say? A nightmare it every did. Single day.
It felt
day.
Like I was,
living
so a horror story for so long. And that summer, and you couldn't get away from it, and we were all cooped up, and I was scared that I was going to get this. I'm like, did I go through all of this to die of a fucking cold? Like, what is happening? This is really what it all amounts up to, you know? You start just really taking it all in, and I was just really getting into a place and into a headspace of nothing made me happy. Nothing gave me joy. Like, you could have told me you just won the lottery, and I'd be like, okay.
All right. That's
like, I
fine.
Just had no, nothing.
I think we were all there. We
Absolutely.
Talked about that on the show before, where it was like literally the Pentagon were like, aliens exist, and we're like, fine, I don't,
whatever.
Yeah,
I can't.
Murder hornets, great.
Sure,
I couldn't take any more information. I couldn't handle any more stress, and I just shut down. I was the same way.
And it was so, I'm not that person. Like, anytime anybody in the past has said to me, like, oh, I'm depressed, I'm like, snap the fuck out, girl.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, I've never really had patience or understanding for what it is to truly chemically feel like you're never going to be happy again.
Yeah.
And that hit me. And I was like, oh, A, I've been an asshole to people who really are struggling with something. And then B, like,
how
can
do people
I do?
Live the thing, like this.
What is the thing that I, what can I do to get out of this? Mm-hmm. A friend of mine was like, well, I got this guy and he's helping me hook up and we're microdosing and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know what? I loved mushrooms when I was in college.
You know what? Drugs
they
are
were,
pretty
I
tight.
I lived in the South. They were real available because it rained a lot and there was cows everywhere. So I was like into them, but I did. I haven't done them in a really long time.
Yeah.
And it was a little. It was a microdose. It was a very small amount that you didn't even know until I was like, oh wait.
I feel lighter.
Feel a little looser.
I don't have pain in my bones. I don't feel heavy. I oh, that's funny. You know what I mean? It just starts slowly kind of waking you up. But then also, you know, there were nights where maybe I took more than I should have, and
maybe
and the dog
I
would have
just
long
dosed.
Conversations. Long
I left the micro out,
Do
and
you
I just
know,
dosed.
I learned this dog, she wanted her food bowl lifted up just a little higher. She didn't like bending all the way down, but until she told me, I didn't know. So
you had to hear her voice.
I put her bowl up on a phone book, and now she's so much happier with me. But I mean, it really was that. It really did just kind of reset me. And the last time I did it was, I don't know if you remember the day that it was the hottest day it's ever been on planet Earth here in Los Angeles. And it was in like October.
Yeah.
And I had, instead of getting my microdose, I had gotten a chocolate bar with the mushrooms in it. And my friend was like, just take half. You just need half. You're going to be fine. Just half. So I would take the half. But it was so hot. I thought, well, this is just going to melt in my pocket.
I better just eat it.
I better eat it.
Eat it. So I go ahead and eat the whole thing.
Oh,
and
boy.
Then we go to the beach. We walked to the beach. And my girl said, you for 3 hours rocked back and forth on the beach telling yourself you were going to be okay.
Oh, my.
And we had just finished. We rewatched all of Game of Thrones during the pandemic.
Uh-huh.
So we had just finished the whole thing, like all of Game of Thrones the night before. I take all these mushrooms. We go to the beach. I'm rocking back and forth like, you're okay. You're okay. You're going to be okay. Like talking to myself. But in my head, it was Dracarys. Do you understand?
Yes.
Like, all I could see was fire. It was this bitch on a dragon setting everything on fire.
And you
there
were like,
were fire
it's fine.
Trucks down by the water because there were so many people and it was so hot. So everything just kept reiterating that. You know, you have to walk down to that water. It's like an incline. It's not like, boom, you're there.
Yeah.
It's work. It's exercise. Yeah. And girl, I'm coming back. And I'm still all fucked up on it. But we're trying to walk back up to my house.
Oh,
and I'm on the incline. And I'm just like, I'm crying. I am crying because I feel the pain of everything that's happening around me. Like,
maybe
I'm telling my girlfriend, I'm like, you don't understand. These people are in pain. And she's like, okay.
And she's like, this is exactly why I said take half.
She's like, hey, look, there's a fruit stand right there. Look, there's a fruit stand. Let's go get you some
fruit.
Look,
hey, there's a fruit stand in Westeros.
Yes. Yeah. So she sits me down on a little, like, you know, stone ledge that's there by the park, by the water. She sets me there. She goes and gets me some fruit. She comes back with this big cup of fruit with all this tahine and big bottle of water. And I'm just like, oh, I'm eating all the fruit and the juice is just dripping down my whole face.
And you don't even care.
I don't care. I'm chugging the water like a maniac. And then she's like, and she just let me like absorb all the hydration, I guess, for a few minutes. And then she goes, okay, can we walk back home now? And I was like, okay. And she's like, hold your water, hold your fruit. You know, like,
you need that friend.
I'm holding my stuff. And we just walked home like in quiet silence the whole way. It's probably another 20 minutes to the house. We just walked home in silence. We came up here. I took a shower. I put on pajamas and I slept for 2 days. And
see, it was that's
the last time. And I will never do it again.
Lesson number one for this episode, always have a drug guide.
I was going to, that's, your friend was the hero that entire time. I was just going to say, you have to have a guide. You have to have a friend that's guide. Watching
I
you.
I am a huge believer. If you asked me what is the one piece of advice you would give people, it is buddy system.
Buddy system.
Have a freaking buddy with you anytime you're going to do something like that.
Yeah,
for anything.
If I ever had kids, that's what I would tell them. Like, hey, you want to experiment with drugs? Like, do it in a safe place and do it with at least one person who's not participating,
right.
Who can help you
talk you through it
when situations get hairy, because they're gonna
100%
for someone, maybe it's not you, maybe it's Ted, but they're gonna get weird and you need someone there to be like, it's all right,
it's okay, and
we're in America.
Don't run up to the cop and tell him you're on acid. Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Please.
We're just gonna drink some juice. You're gonna be fine.
It might drip down your face, but it's okay.
So always have a buddy and always have a buddy. Always have some juice. Juice is very comforting to me.
You did offer me at least 3 different juices when I walked in, so I do think
I'm a juice person. And if
the pink lemonade sounds good,
I also have pink lemon, like little packets and drops, and like I don't want to drink plain water.
You're not a water gal.
Something
not
in
around.
It, so
that's so great.
So I'm constantly doing that. But yeah, I felt like all of 2020 was such a horrific nightmare for me that like the thought of watching something scary on TV does not
appeal
does
to
not
you
appeal
in
to
the
me
slightest.
In the slightest.
That's
you
kind of so
happy.
Horror has always been my comfort food because that's what I watched when I was a kid. So horror to me is like watching, you know, Wizard of Oz for some people. Mm-hmm. Mine with that was like drama, where it's like, do you want to watch Schindler's List? And I was like, I'd rather die because I can't.
Yeah.
Do you want to watch this really sad show that just got edited? No.
Yep.
Nope.
I was with you. I
any drama that came out in the last 2 years.
More horror movies during
nothing.
Quarantine than like ever in my life. It's the same way. Yeah. I was like, it brought me so much peace. And in a way, it was like, hey, they have it much worse. She's getting chased with a chainsaw. My life's all right.
I still have my legs.
I also don't like suspensefully scary stuff. Like even something like Silence of the Lambs or Jagged Edge or these movies that are meant to be like suspenseful, but there's still anytime there's like a kind of moment, I don't want it. No, no thank you.
Not there
no,
for the jump scare.
You. I'm a fat person. I don't need a shock to the ticker like that.
I need everything to be
shock to my heart.
Very level.
Can we just keep this? I was just watching The Starling.
I can't bring myself to. It looks so sad.
I didn't know it was going to be sad. Nobody told me it was going to be sad. It had a beautiful little bird in the beginning. I'm like, oh, it's going to be sweet. And it's all sweet for like 10 minutes. And then it's like, dun, dun, dun. And I'm like,
come
on. Turn it off. And then,
you had to
you
see
know,
it through.
Literally, I had a friend over, my little neighbor friend. She was over. And we had ordered some food during the movie. And and it got there right at the end where it's you're figuring it all out, right? And she's like, I'm gonna go get the food. And I'm like, good, because I'm about to ugly cry. I'm about to sob.
I don't
so
need
hard.
You to see
I need
me.
You
I don't
to
want
exit.
You in my house while this is happening.
When you're trying to hold it in, your body starts convulsing.
It was so but that to me feels better.
You might want a cathartic cry.
Well, good. Now that we know that you don't like scary stuff, Lauren, why don't you tell us about some haunted places?
Why don't
I
just scare the pants off yet?
In Louisiana.
Well, because that's what's so scary about Louisiana.
There's
is
haunts
that
everywhere.
There's so much of this occult.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not, you know, like here, it's kind of addressed. It's like, oh, there's an occult bookshop and there's a this and a that. It's like compartmentalized and like made a thing. In Louisiana, it's just these stories that you thought for a long time were true because someone told you it, they know the person it happened to.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? Even though, no, they don't. Right.
No, they don't. Can't, they can't.
It's just, it could all be just myths, but there's some fun
all
stories.
All right, let's hear it.
I'm bringing it to you. The good news is I did some haunts, but I also did just some weird places. So it's not
good.
All scary. You're getting off the hook. And I tried to avoid New Orleans. Only because we've talked about it a lot on the show and everyone knows about
done.
It. They know
done.
The place. There's so many famous
So New
there.
Orleans, if you look at Louisiana as like a boot,
which
right,
I
New
can
Orleans,
that's the only way I can see it.
New Orleans is in the toe.
Right.
And Lake Charles, where I'm from, is in the heel.
Okay.
Right next to Texas.
Okay.
So it's also got all that like Texas kind of ghost story in it, like
sure,
yeah.
like they're
like
different.
That old west kind of
different ghosts,
yeah, cowboys
shit whistling around, yeah,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, that is interesting. Different ghosts all over Louisiana.
Different ghosts for different folks.
So we're starting in Alexandria, Louisiana. Have you heard of it?
Oh, honey, I lost my virginity in Alexandria.
Oh, no way!
Sure did.
What a perfect
in a hotel
place.
Room it. Attached to the mall that had a carousel inside of it.
So it was the classiest of days.
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh, Alexandria, where you lose your virginity in Louisiana.
I'll never forget that about
that,
Alexandria.
Big old redneck.
That's what I'm going to think
God,
of.
God, was he a redneck, this guy. Oh, my God.
It's so funny. So it looks like it's basically smack dab in the middle of the state.
Yes.
And it is home to one of the most haunted places in the state called the Bentley Hotel. And
that
word of
the
it?
Hotel, was it?
That would be so funny.
I would shit myself.
I would
like,
have to
that's
leave
the
if you
one
said that
was I
where
lost. It was not that hotel.
I don't think this one's attached to a carousel. So we love talking about haunted hotels on this show. So I, of course, had to do a hotel because they're
that's
just so
funny.
Fun. But the Hotel Bentley is supposedly just full of spooks. It was constructed back in 1907 by a man named Joseph Bentley. He was this wealthy, eccentric, weird guy. Everyone just thought he was a little bizarre. He got denied service at another hotel, and because he was so rich, he's like, well, I'll just open my own then.
Oh,
so
cool.
I did it.
Yeah.
So that was this
don't
guy.
You
just
wish
wealthy.
That happened on something.
I'm sure it happens all the time, which is
they're
insane
like,
to
they
me.
They like
because people
turned
are just
away
rich.
And the husband walks in and buys the whole hotel because they had turned away his wife because she had gotten there for him.
That's not
oh,
right.
It's the beginning of a TV show. Okay, keep going. Keep going.
I was
going
to say,
so
is this...
that's just how wealthy this
what's
guy
that,
is.
What's that movie with the prostitute and Richard Gere? Pretty
oh,
Woman.
Pretty Woman. How could you forget that name?
I don't know. I'm lost.
You know, the prostitute.
The sex worker.
The sex
Go
worker,
on.
Yes. The Bentley opened to the public in 1908, and in 1933, Joseph Bentley decided to expand even more so he could just live there and be there all the time. Because
cool.
he just wanted to reside there and kind of show everyone, like, I'm rich, I'm here, hello.
And now he's dead and he haunts the place?
You guessed it. But not just him. But also...
Why would he leave?
Yeah. So he's staying at the hotel. He dies in the hotel in his suite. But also, this hotel just had a lot of people come through it. And the reason we always talk about haunted hotels on this show is because they're almost always hotels where, like, so much life has happened there. And you think, like, what was happening in those rooms that we don't
yeah.
know about back in the day? Because during World War II, the U.S. troops were trained in the area. And the commanders of these troops, Dwight Eisenhower and George S. Patton, were staying at the hotel. Also, John Wayne, Henry Kissinger were known to stay at the hotel. A lot of people
Damn.
Came
Do
through there.
Do you think that if John Wayne and Henry Kissinger
were haunting a
were
place,
haunting a place, it's going to be in Alexandria, Louisiana?
It's like, not.
Come on, man. You know how many hotels us two stay in? That's the most ridiculous thing. That's somebody trying to sell you a ticket.
John Wayne is like, did you hear the comedian Jen Kober lost her virginity in Alexandria?
Did you
we
hear?
Need to, guys, that's where we need to be. Clearly, anyone can get fucked in Alexandria. Even a ghost.
Lord. No, I don't even think these guys are known to stay there. It was more just a note to throw in, like, that this was a place to be. And a
yeah,
lot of parties
happening.
Took place here. It was happening. And some things, like, could have happened under the radar that we didn't know about during these parties. There might have been
also the
some
site
mob
of
activity.
One of the big, well, there was a lot of Klan activity in
well,
old Alexandria.
It could have been some of
you know
that.
What I'm saying? Could have that's what always makes me think there's ghosts.
Yeah.
Because
oh,
they
absolutely.
Killed so many people that were, like...
Not deserving to be.
Yeah.
Losing that
killed.
Bad energy.
Yeah.
Like we're talking
yeah.
about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that
All
absolutely
right.
could
I
have
buy
been
that
happening.
For a dollar.
So the hotel did well for years, but in the 1960s, it closed for business until a decade later, it reopened under new ownership and then closed again in the 80s, only to reopen again in the 90s and then sold again in 2004. And then 2012, it opened again and is the luxury hotel that we know today that also has private residential suites. So it has been renovated through.
Oh, so people live there still today?
People can still live there and still stay there. And work
said
there
to the people that live in Louisiana.
Yeah.
Is there a luxury hotel in Alexandria? I guarantee goddamn to you, everybody'd say no.
No, there's not.
Knows, not that I know of.
No, I think they just built it. You talking about that Hilton Garden Inn? That's what you're talking about. Like, it's not.
It's a tad luxe.
I feel like that's.
No, well, the that word luxury means nothing because they say right. that. For apartment complexes here in LA, and you walk in, you're like, what is luxury about this? Yeah. Like, luxury. What
do you, how do you describe luxury?
Up in a third world country, it's luxury.
Sure, yes.
You know, if you're it's coming from Ghana, I bet you're going to think it's real.
Yeah,
nice.
You're going to be like, what is this paradise? 100%.
If you're coming from Kafui, Louisiana, that's a real town.
It's all in the eye of the beholder.
You're there. You're fine.
So it went through a lot of renovations and all these changes. But again, we've discussed this on the show before. Sometimes that
kicks up some activity.
It kicks things up while the renovations are being made. So it could have been making Joseph Bentley a little mad or any
you
of the other people there.
The ghosts are like in the ceiling tiles that
and
are
then
falling.
They get knocked down.
I feel like they just come in and they're like, this is a bad choice. Like, you are tacky.
Why would you use taffeta on these curtains?
100%. So it's believed that Joseph Bentley has been there since his death in his suite in 1938, and his presence has been supposedly seen on the third and fifth floor, and that is also where most of the voices and the footsteps are heard.
Voices,
this has been reported by guests and staff. Some guests have even claimed to see the hotel owner in the flesh, because some people just say they hear things or, you know, feel a cold breeze. They see what looks like the owner in the flesh walking up and down those halls. But the restaurant wait staff says they've seen sightings of someone looking exactly like him in the lounge area as well, in, you know, the big restaurant downstairs, and also in the Mirror Bar Lounge.
Well, girl,
which is a part
gotta
of it.
Eat. Yeah, ghost gotta eat.
He wants a drink.
He wants a spirit.
Jen, ladies,
and that's all the time we have
good.
This week.
Thank you and good night. Tip your waitress and try the veal.
We did it. So he's been spotted in the restaurant, the third and the fifth floor, but mostly people just complain of a really eerie and dark feeling in the bar area. They don't always see him. Only
that's
a few people have said
Alexandria.
That.
Alexandria.
Yeah. It's just Louisiana that makes you feel that way.
When you drive into Alexandria, it's like you're going from color into black and white. It's like 1952 everywhere.
This is why we gotta
that
have a
true.
Local on these, so we could be like, this luxury hotel, and
she's
she could
like,
be like,
you're
it's
kidding.
Garbage.
I did. We needed you to tell us, because I can't. I've seen pictures of this place, but they make the pictures look
of
extra nice.
They
so
they
I
use a wide-angle lens,
smoke and mirrors.
Some of the other ghosts supposedly haunting the place are a spirit of a young woman who fell to her death in an elevator shaft.
There's always a young woman who fell to her death.
To her death.
Women be tripping.
They be tripping.
Bitches be falling.
Or are they pushed by asshole men? We don't know.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's true. Men do kill a lot of women.
They
do. Lest we forget.
So she might be wandering around the halls of the Bentley Hotel. Ghosts have also heard a woman's voice either speaking or, in rare cases, singing. Mm-hmm. And figures are also seen peeking from the mezzanine railings above the center of the grand staircase. It could be sneaky kids. It could be sneaky ghost kids. We're just going to have to go do an investigation.
Wouldn't put it past any hotel in Louisiana to have a staff of people like... You go outside of room 215 and start singing.
Start singing.
You know what I mean? Like, hey, we're going to have an argument in this closet, and it's going to sound to like these four rooms around
like
this closet.
Playing
it's
into
actually,
the
yeah, like they're
it's
kind
actually
of,
brilliant.
It's so smart.
Because you know that maybe not half, but you know that a good portion of
they're coming
people there
the
are going
experience.
Because this website or several websites said this is the most haunted place in Alexandria.
We don't know. Mostly, I wanted to bring this up because we love talking about hotels, and also to say, Ashley, I want to go investigate
hell
it immediately because I want to see what we can find.
Even if it's like taking masks off like Scooby-Doo style.
Right.
Like where it's like, it was the hotelier
God,
the whole
God,
time.
It was the maid.
Cher?
Betty White.
What are you doing here? No, I think it would be really fun to go. But who knows? There's a lot of things happening there. And
I feel like that should be one day of a bigger trip. You don't want to go spend too much time in Alexandria.
From what I've heard today in the last 20 minutes about Alexandria, we'll pass through.
We'll just pass on our way.
We'll go through Alexandria to somewhere else.
Yeah, we won't stay for long. Okay, I'm going to go away from hauntings and just go to something that I thought was bizarre. So there's this place called, I just scrolled away. Oh, it's called Lake Peignor. Peignor.
Wait, spell it?
Peignur.
Well, it's a French word.
Peignor. Peignor. It's a lake that is but 200 feet deep, the deepest in Louisiana, and it's in the southern part of the state. But the lake actually used to only be about 10 feet deep. And it's
That's
crazy.
That's not a lake at all.
How this, yeah, it was
That's
just
a puddle.
Like, yeah, it was basically a puddle. It was wide, but it wasn't deep. Well, okay. And so everyone just knew it was like this little lake. But then on the morning of November 21st, 1980, a Texaco oil rig team was on the lake and they were on their rig and the drill suddenly seized up just below the surface. And they're like, well, this is crazy. This is only a 10-foot lake. What is this stuck in? So the 12 men were baffled, and when they couldn't free the drill, things started to pop and shake. The platform was starting to tilt into the water, so they're alarmed. They're jumping out into the water. They're swimming to the shore. They're just panicking. So they're like, this doesn't feel right. Then they get to the shore. They look back, and basically all of the lake water just starts, like, funneling in where their drilling rig was and, like, going into itself and causing this huge whirlpool. So they had struck a salt mine that was below the lake. And so their like $5 million rig vanishes into the lake.
Good.
It hit the Diamond Crystal salt line. The tunnels were under this lake. And so now water is rushing into the salt mine that people are actively working in. Luckily, all 50 workers were able to rush out and like get into the elevator in time. And no one died. Like everyone got away, including, you know,
That's
the Texaco people and also the miners. But like houses got sucked into it. It started sucking in
what
things that were
this?
Nearby the lake. 81.
This was in the 80s?
No,
what
80.
Part of Louisiana is this?
It's in the south. I looked it up on a map at one point, but I think I exited out of it. It's in the south. It looks like it's maybe like somewhat nearby New Orleans, but not quite.
What? That is terrifying.
Yeah, I was like, you can look it up while we're discussing this. But
so it was sucking up houses.
So yeah, lake water just starts rushing into it, but then it starts like taking other things with it. It's this swirling vortex, like trees, a barge got sucked into it, a tugboat, a dock, a parking lot, like some of the island
a
got sucked
parking
in.
Parking lot.
Like it was just taking everything with it. It used to drain into Vermilion Bay via the Decombre Canal.
Delcambre Canal.
But once,
they call it Delcam.
Delcam Canal. But once the lake had emptied into the mine, the canal changed direction, and then salt water from the Gulf of Mexico started emptying then into this lake. So now what was just this fresh water 10-foot lake is now a 200-foot deep saltwater lake.
Wow.
So it changed the ecosystem around it, swallowed up all this stuff. Now there's saltwater creatures that can live in there. And it went on for days. It caused this huge temporary 164-foot waterfall, the tallest ever seen in the state. 400-foot geysers were bursting out of it with compressed air.
So it's about 200 miles directly south of Alexandria.
Okay.
In Louisiana.
All right. Well,
so
that'll be
right
our next stop.
Lafayette.
So that'll be where we head next to
below
see.
Below Lafayette. Vermilion Bay is that little bay right there. And then
yeah,
the
that's
Gulf
what it was
Mexico
emptying into.
Right there,
so then it started. It
so
went
then
backwards.
Once it, yeah, I was
yeah,
going to say, once
directions.
Enough of it went
like
out.
Because that's how powerful the whirlpool was.
Wow.
And then the mine shaft was like all the compressed air coming out of that was then shooting these geysers into the air. So there was a huge waterfall, huge geysers, and it all lasted for about 3 days and then finally settled. But again, now it's changed forever. It's this saltwater.
Now it's a completely different
lake with a totally different
city
ecosystem.
To that lake is New Iberia, Louisiana, which is the witchcraft capital of the world.
That's where we're going. And then we'll stop at this.
It's a witchcraft. It's known for witches. I don't know what else to say.
Wait, we'll go explore it.
It's
Salem's
it's
cousin.
Yes, yeah, like
Salem's
one of those
southern
places
cousin.
Where they're like, oh, they had a problem there. and when I say problem, please remember that I went to Catholic school. There was a problem in that town with devil worshiping and this witchcraft, kind of a paganism that, like, where the police got involved because cats went missing.
Right.
And they, you know, like, what I mean? Well, yeah. Right. So they found all the, and I think it was just a bunch of kids.
I was going to say, was it actual?
The shit that kids do, yeah. Like, you know, and trying to, you know, kind of scare the patriarchy.
Right. But totally.
It worked. They were.
It worked. I
do not go to New Iberia for that reason. It's,
wow.
It's where the witches live. Ooh.
Did the witches do this to this lake?
Maybe they did.
Okay.
They caused this giant whirlpool. I like that theory. Let's just pile it on. So you can still go to the lake this day and visit it. I mean, obviously it just looks like a lake. People mostly go though because, and I pulled up this picture for you guys to see, all that you can see is like this house that was swallowed up by it, that chimney sticking out. That's the chimney of their house. And it's all, you know, it's rusted. It's been there since the 80s, but that's like what is left of the town that was, maybe not the town, but the few houses that were next to it. It's just that chimney sticking out. And so you can see like, oh, that has a history. There's a story there.
Is it one of those lakes where you can like go scuba diving and see like cemeteries and houses and shit?
Yeah, you'd be able to see the stuff,
no,
but
clearly
I don't really want
to
go in there.
You've never been to Louisiana. Clearly. Because the water in Louisiana is not something you can see through. Bitches, it's brown. It's coffee. Can you see through coffee? I don't fucking think so. No. You
literally
go down there with all your goggles and your fucking tanks and whatever you got, you ain't seeing nothing but shit water.
That's true. You'll just end up like feeling around.
Yeah,
okay.
Like, I know. Like, I think this is a door, but no, you will not see anything.
That's fair.
Yeah. But no, I just thought that was a crazy thing. I was like, that's a wild,
that's a wild situation.
And obviously the drilling company has had to pay like millions of dollars in a settlement
were
to
in
the mine business and the other local businesses. Yeah. So they settled out of court.
Don't give me for this.
That's
my chicken sticking up right there.
Another weird one that I don't have to go super into because it's like it kind of explains itself, but I've always wanted to walk around here is the abandoned Six Flags. And that one is in New Orleans. I said I was avoiding New Orleans, but there's an abandoned Six Flags that got hit by Hurricane Katrina.
There were plans
for it for years, but they just kept getting scrapped. And so it's been left there abandoned.
So it never opened.
Never
there's
reopened.
Too much drinking in New Orleans for you to need to get on a fucking roller coaster.
That's true.
They don't need it there.
There's also in Baton Rouge, which is about an hour west of New Orleans. It's the capital. There's an abandoned water park there.
Ooh.
So it's all these water slides, but it's dry. So to me, it's
just
like sadder.
Yeah,
than
way
the,
sadder.
Than the, right? Because there's just,
no, you're right.
It also is just, so, but somebody told me that somebody just bought it. And they would have to, there's no way those slides still work.
Right.
Yeah.
They'd have to tear it.
Like
all
they would
down.
Have to
yeah,
gut
they would
it.
Have
yeah.
to start over. So I wonder what they're going to do with the property because I don't know that they're going to make it a water park or something again.
Well, and that's what's happening with Six Flags is there were so many years where somebody said some of the rides are salvageable, very few, but some of them are. The rest are too rusted, too torn apart from the hurricane. But for a while, it was like, let's try to put another park in here. But I think the latest that I heard is that they are just going to gut it and completely change it. And it actually sounds like, who was it? Drew Brees, the athlete. He's retired now.
I was going to say, I know
retired football player Drew Brees and current Saints linebacker DeMario Davis want to financially back the new plan. So apparently they have a proposal on the table for something.
I think Jen's
I think it's
right,
gonna get
though. I feel like maybe that was the higher power, whether you want to call it God or something else, being like, we don't, New Orleans doesn't need this.
Like, I would get if they put in some sort of like activity center, right? Like with Drew Brees, I could see them putting in like a trampoline park with like go-karts and, and an arcade and batting cages, like some kind of big, big conglomeration like that.
But
to me, just
barf?
A Six Flags with rides and you know, how many can you shoot the water gun into the duck's mouth to make the balloon pop?
Yeah, to get your stuffed animal.
No. I don't think those kind of entertainment venues have the appeal that they had when we were kids.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
I don't think so either.
Anymore.
I think people want to be active with their families.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know.
Well, and also I'm just thinking like to if you're in New Orleans, what do you go to New Orleans for? You don't go for Six Flags.
Right.
No. So
it's not a family friendly
destination.
It's not
super family friendly.
No. Really.
And
I thought that was
just
an
the amount
spot for
of
it. It's like Vegas. Like,
yeah.
You know, just
yeah.
leave the kids with mama.
The
yeah.
amount of vomit on the rides.
Yeah.
In New Orleans, I just feel like because
yeah,
you know people are going to go, yeah, that's down Bourbon
say.
Street.
I say,
yeah.
You know what I love about Bourbon Street is you can just
smell.
You
the
can
vomit.
Smell the fresh smell of beignets and puke, and then the piss right wafts over you. And it's
just
how
beautiful.
You know. That's what
you
home smells
home.
Like
yeah.
to me. Yeah.
yeah. That's how you know.
I know. It seems like we're not going to get our chance to walk around there because it is going to get gutted. But I always thought it just looked cool. Like you were saying about the water park. Like it just, it's like kind of fun to look at. Seeing the rusted rides.
There's
like
a word.
And then like the grass has like grown all
into. I was going to say, there's
the...
a photo of one of the roller coasters and the trees are like through the tracks now.
Yeah.
And then that creepy like old man who you'd always see on the Six Flags commercials. There's a statue of him that's really rusted. But you just see his big glass. And so he's just this rusty, creepy thing smiling at you. So people have snuck in and taken pictures.
There's a word for that.
It's patrolled pretty well.
There's a word for the feeling you get when you see an abandoned thing.
Like
an abandoned
park.
Yeah, it has a name. Oh. And it's the same. I think it's very similar to when you see submerged things. Like some people get really creeped out when they see like a submerged, like
that.
The Titanic,
yeah.
like photos of the Titanic.
I get that feeling.
And it's not necessarily that, oh, a bunch of people died, because sometimes it's like something fell in the ocean yep. or there's a statue under the water. Some people legitimately can't look. It's almost like trypophobia with the holes, like
yeah.
how some people have that. They can't look at things
I'm
that are
literally
submerged
that way.
Or abandoned.
I like, can't look
yeah.
at photos. It freaks me out. It just makes me feel this feeling of dread. And yeah, it isn't the sadness of like, oh, people died on the Titanic.
No, it's just
like,
a weird
I can't look
thing
at that.
That yeah.
We were talking about this the other day because I was telling my friend, I don't like blood. I don't like gore. And she's like, you're on American Horror Story. I'm like, I know
it's
doesn't
different.
Make sense, but
yeah.
it's
a job.
I can't watch that show. And she said to me, but aren't you constantly watching Dateline and, you know, all this true crime stuff? And I go, yeah. She goes, isn't there blood in that? I go, yeah, but it's like in a still picture.
Yeah.
It's not happening. There's no action to it.
I get
right?
that.
It's not that I can't see gory things. I don't have like a weak stomach. But like, it's that like, if you showed me a picture of somebody all mangled up, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
And I could probably
could
get that out of my head, but I
it.
Guess watching it happen in motion. My friend was just like, I need you to start watching that show. Truth Be Told
mm-hmm.
with Octavia Spencer.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I'm going to start it. I start it in the first 15 seconds. See, he's got like a little sharp tool and he's carving a little wooden doll
mm-hmm.
and the thing goes
his
through
that's
his
finger.
It goes through
nope.
his finger. I turned it off. I was like, I can't
oh,
watch
I hate that.
She's like, come on. That's not even, sorry.
Like I know it was
one heads up.
I had to turn it off. I cannot watch it. But if I watched a Dateline and they showed blood spattered all over a wall or
that's
a dead body
okay.
in something, that doesn't. That's not the same to me.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah, I get
that.
That
actually makes sense.
I mean, that's sort of, I mean, I don't get it with like horror. Like it doesn't bother me. But in real life, like if I sliced my thumb open, I'd throw up.
Mm-hmm.
I would vomit.
Yeah, I think I would too.
Why?
I fainted at a doctor's appointment with my friend. It wasn't even my appointment. She got her finger pricked. That tiny little prick where like the smallest drop of blood comes out. I fainted. I woke up to smelling salts and I was mortified.
I have this story. My dad's a doctor and we were in his office and I had a paranychia, like a little growth on the side of my cuticle. Like
okay.
it had gotten infected. It was like green. Like you could see there was something in
sure
it.
That hurt so bad.
So my dad's like, oh, you got a little paranychia. I'm going to take you down to the office, right? We go down to his office on a weekend. I'm sitting on his little stool that spins around. And he just puts a little alcohol on it and gets a little needle and just pops it. And the stuff comes out. And I just went, uh-oh. And I fucking
and down you fell.
Hit the floor. When I came to, I had pissed myself.
Oh my God.
I mean, I couldn't have been more than 12 years old. I'd never passed out before. Nothing. I wouldn't have called myself a squeamish kid. But
yeah.
Just seeing that happen to me and knowing that was coming out of me.
Yep. Yeah.
Even
just
though I
you.
Couldn't feel it because he had numbed it.
Yeah. Doesn't
still,
matter.
You just I see just, it and you start analyzing.
Yeah,
it.
I hit the dirt.
Hit the deck.
I hit the dirt. And my little brother was there, sadly, and so now that's his. Remember that time you passed out and pissed your pants?
We'll never let you live it down.
Thanks, Michael. Yeah, I do remember that.
I do remember that. Thank you. I wish I could forget.
Remember how little your dick used to be? Yeah, remember that? I remember changing your diaper and thinking, my pinky's bigger than that. So I guess.
Okay, I'm going to skip for the sake of time to the one from your hometown because I wanted to make sure we got to that. And there's just so many haunts in Louisiana. It's like it could take all day.
We could do this all day.
So this is the Calcasieu Courthouse in the city of Lake Charles.
Calcasieu?
Calcasieu. I had to look up the pronunciation.
In which I have been charged.
You have? Yes. So you've been in this courthouse.
Yep. I pled no contest.
Did it work?
It did. He was like, you know, it's the same as pleading guilty. And that I wanted to be like, no, it's not. I didn't do this. I just want this to fucking end. But I was just like,
get it over with.
Yes, sir.
Because when you are in court,
yes, you stay polite. Do it.
My lawyer, if I outburst one more time, my lawyer is going to drop me as a client.
Well, little did you know while you were in the Calcasieu Courthouse in Lake Charles that it is extremely haunted.
Half the people on the bench are dead.
I believe it. This one has even more stories than the hotel. Like, this has been, like, everybody says this is haunted pretty much. So, the story behind it. It's believed to be haunted by a woman named Toni Jo Henry. She was born Annie Beatrice McQuiston, but she ended up...
McQuiston's, y'all own all the bars in town.
So it's like that's a known family.
Okay.
She got married and changed her name later in life, but she was a murderer and the only female to die in Louisiana's electric chair in history.
Wow. Who'd she kill?
So Toni was a sex worker with a drug problem. She had, you know, a rough
in Louisiana.
Childhood.
Wait, hold on one
you
second.
You shut your mouth. That does not even track.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
That doesn't add up. She fell in love with a man named Claude Henry. He was nicknamed the Cowboy, and she got clean, so things looked good for a bit.
Well, you gotta get clean when you're with Claude.
But then you gotta get clean with Claude. The two married, but then shortly after, Claude Henry was arrested on murder charges. He had murdered a guy he got into a bar fight with, it sounds like, and he was sentenced to 50 years in prison. But Toni Jo stole a getaway car with a friend of hers in hopes to get her man out of prison. She was gonna fight for
a ride or die bitch.
And to get the car, they murdered the owner of the car. Okay. Innocent bystander.
This is the most Lake Charles fucking story I have ever heard.
Feels like a Louisiana tale.
It's like you're strumming my pain with your fingers.
So they dump the body in a ditch. They steal the car. They're off to try and save her husband. They were not successful, of course. Well, he was still in prison, and they were found and arrested and charged with the murder because they just, you know, they didn't cover their tracks. They were in a hurry. They weren't doing the best things. She was charged with murder in the Calcasieu Courthouse, and she was sentenced to death as she bragged about the incident and boldly said she did what she had to do to free her boo.
I had to get my man out of that there prison. So,
what was that supposed to do?
I had to kill this moron to make it happen.
She seemed to have this, like, creepy energy about her. That's why people think she's the one haunting the courthouse, because she was smiling, had this, like, sinister look about her. She didn't feel any remorse. And even
Sorry, not sorry
is her hashtag. Even the day of her execution, she seemed to be in a really good mood, not showing remorse. The only time she complained was when they said they had to cut her hair for her execution. And then she was like, bitch!
Wow.
I don't want you to cut my hair.
That's hilarious.
She was pure evil. And then, only woman to die in the electric chair. Super unsettling. Everyone who witnessed the execution said it was so disturbing and she was just so bizarre. So today, people who work in or have visited the courthouse claim to have heard a female voice whispering and in rare cases even screaming at the top of her lungs.
Wow.
There's a constant feeling, mostly by the employees, of being watched, and it feels like someone is always over their shoulder even when they're alone in a room, usually in the evening because, of course, it has to be as scary as possible. Lights flicker, machines turn on and off.
That courthouse closes the fuck down at 5 p.m.
I'm talking like the guy who's there late, like sending an email.
The janitor.
Yeah, the guy sweeping.
Or the janitor.
The janitor sweeping up. That poor dumb son of a bitch. Listen. Here's the truth. When I was in that building, it was very creepy and it did feel like people were watching you, but there were also armed guards every 5 feet.
So they were watching you.
There's a lot of surveillance as you come in. There's like a lot of pat downs, like two or it's not like you go through a metal detector and you're fine.
Right.
Like at the airport. No, no. At the courthouse, they'll frisk you. They make you take everything out. They will pat you down. It's a thing. And I think it's because the people of Louisiana are armed.
And, yes. True.
And,
yeah.
This is the redneck way. If you wrong me, I will shoot you.
Yes.
And
so if you're going to court,
and I think those,
that would be a time.
I think those judges and bailiffs and lawyers and such, I bet they get a lot of death threats.
Probably.
Because real rednecks like to announce what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. Right? So I'm going to kill that dumb son. You better. I'm going to wring your little neck. I'm going to tear you a new double wide two bedroom asshole when I'm done with it. Like, they're just very specific. And then when that exact thing happens to you, they're like, well, why you think it was me?
Yeah. Well, why you think I did it?
Well,
the exact thing. He died with a mailbox in his head, and you swore you were going to kill him with a mailbox.
That was a direct quote.
We feel like we've got this one pretty figured out.
We feel like this is airtight.
Yep.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I mean, that does make sense. You are being watched by cameras, so that could be the sensation. But the biggest reports, which I thought was interesting, are electrical issues, which she died in the electric chair. So I was like, okay, I see. Yeah.
When did she die?
It was 1942.
Okay.
And now the lights are flickering. Machines turn on and off on their own. Like brand new equipment will shut down out of nowhere.
Who turned this Xerox off? Who did
this? This is brand new.
Tony.
Tony, was it you? There's also smells of burning hair and also smells of cheap perfume. So it's Tony Joe. Yeah. So that is the Calcasieu Courthouse in your hometown.
That was a very specific smell, too.
Yes.
Burning
like you
hair.
Know when it's burning hair. And it's the employees who are saying it. They're the ones who are there the most. So I don't. I kind of believe in it.
Y'all see this fly that's flying around the room,
right?
He
won't leave me be.
It's a big one.
He's a big one. Yeah,
you know why he's in here? Because I have, it's in my closet right in there. I have a tennis racket that is electric.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I hit it. Electric I electrocute so
like
many
flies.
Like when I get that out, my dog like goes in the back. She's like, I don't want to be here
for this murder.
But these big flies, when you get them on that racket, they stick a little, and then you start smelling that smell of burning fly.
Means you got him good.
And I let it burn because I want them other ones to smell it.
Yeah,
like,
you want
don't
the
come
family
in this
to
fucking
know.
House.
Yeah.
You can there's other open windows for
I've
you.
Got a murder
I
machine.
Have a murder racket.
Speaking of murder, you did say you had some murder stories surrounding your hometown.
Well, I just saw. So do you remember that woman who she left her husband to marry a guy who was also married, and he left his wife to marry her? And then both of their spouses ended up dead, and then the kids end up dead, and they were like off in Hawaii or somewhere.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So the guy she killed to marry the preacher man was from Lake Charles. He was a guy who was older than me. So we didn't know each other like growing up or anything,
but I knew him
and I know his parents.
No way.
What the hell was their names? The name of that?
Lori and I forget his name, but they were in like that weird church and they thought that they were.
She thought she was like Jesus.
They thought that they were.
They definitely had a
and
God
the
complex.
The kids were zombies and that's why they had to kill the kids.
Like God told
did
them to do
out?
It.
Yes.
Did
we talked about this, didn't we?
I don't remember if we talked about it on the show, but I mean, we've talked about it. But did they ever find the kids?
Yeah, dead in the yard.
Yes, it was
Damn.
In the backyard, wasn't it? The whole time. Wait,
the whole time.
And where did they...
The brother had done it. Her brother.
Yeah,
because
I was like,
them.
Somehow it wasn't connected to them. So they were able to be, at first, be like, no, it wasn't. We've
All
been
of
here.
Our true crime listener fans
are yelling
like...
at us right now.
Yeah. No, I get it. And if I were a better person, I would have written down their names. But I know her
I,
name.
I can't remember their
name. Her name
either.
Was Lori.
Were they still in... Louisiana, or where were they?
They had gone somewhere else.
They,
I thought.
Yeah, they were in Arizona,
maybe
Arizona, I believe. Ugh. They were going between Utah and Arizona, and they were in Hawaii for a little while, and blah blah blah. So, but the guy that she had married was from the one who
Lake
ended
Charles.
Up getting killed was from Lake Charles.
Damn.
That
and
is
so
wild. That story
I'm
insane.
Always so interested when I find out like you know, the connections to this. It's a little town.
Yeah.
Hi, guys. Ashley here. Literally just popping by to say that we are talking about the Lori Vallow, Chad Daybell case. If you don't know about that one, lose yourself in Google. It's crazy. Also, I know a ton of true crime podcasts have covered it, probably all of them. My Favorite Murder, Morbid, Dr. Phil. There's also a podcast called The Followers, Madness of Two, that is apparently all about it. And if you do know about this case, sorry, we are dumb. Current update is that they have been charged with the murders of both children, JJ and Ty Lee. Their trial has been delayed due to mental health concerns with Lori, but Chad wants to be tried now. He doesn't want to wait, but they don't want to try him separately because they know they'll just try and point the finger at one another. They want one trial for both defendants. So they are waiting for Lori to be mentally capable of standing trial. Also, I'm so sorry for the mic bumping in this episode. I know it's horrible and annoying, and I feel really bad about it, but we were recording in a completely different space with some different equipment, and there's nothing I can do. Please continue to love me. See you soon.
The guy, Tony Kushner is from there. He wrote Angels in America. He wrote Lincoln.
He's from
the
Lake
movie.
Charles?
Yes.
Dang.
He just wrote the West Side Story that Spielberg did.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
He's from Lake Charles, and he's Jewish. Wow. There are only like 10 Jews
we
in
only
town.
Have 10 of them.
You know what I mean? Like my family accounts for five, and then there were like five others.
We make up half the town.
His family was Jewish, and his father was the conductor of the symphony in our little town.
Wow.
I can't believe we had a symphony, but we did.
Yeah, that's impressive.
And so I spent Passover over at his parents' house, but he was already out of the house. And
right,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I saw him in a grocery store once when I was at home, and I walked up to him and I was like, you know, my name is Jen Kober. I'm an actress. I'm from here. And you are brilliant. Like, I can't believe you're in the, why are you in a produce section of an Albertsons?
Yeah.
What's happening right now? Like,
what are you doing here?
This is amazing. Your work has affected me. And the fact that you are from the same place that I'm from has affected me.
Yeah.
And the same way that that affects you in a positive way, hearing someone that you know that you get be wrapped up in this big old weird murdery thing feels creepy in the same way.
Yeah. Almost feels like a violation a little bit of like, oh, but like, I knew him and that's my town.
And you always assume that people from your, if you heard about somebody from either of your little small towns, you'd be like, I'm sure they were, you know, didn't deserve whatever terrible thing happened to them.
Yeah,
they seem like
good, fine
people.
Small town.
Yeah.
And so it's always that thought of like, if it could be them, it could be me.
Oh, yeah.
Oof.
And yes. So,
it really gets under your skin. Really,
it's very spooky.
Well, I mean, I went to the same college as Macho Man Randy Savage, so whose work has spoken to me. Whose work has spoken to me on so many different levels.
Just your complete idol. Oh, that is actually really amazing.
He
That's
really
a
was a very entertaining wrestler.
Yeah.
Damn it. He was
put on
incredible.
I'm writing a pilot about wrestling, and that whole world is so fascinating.
Mm-hmm. It is. I just started watching. I found on, I think, the Peacock app for anyone listening. I think it's Peacock. They have all of the Halloween Havocs, which was WCW, the Halloween special.
Fun.
They have like 1996, 95, 94.
The
like they have
years.
All of them. Yeah. So I just watched Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulk versus Macho Man Randy Savage. And it was
fantastic.
From 1996.
Oh,
and
man.
It was the best. And it's Halloween
the
themed.
And
yeah.
It came on.
It's perfect.
That always came on Saturday mornings, which was just my favorite time because we got to sleep late. And when you woke up, there were cartoons. And I could just eat as many bowls of cereal as I wanted until my mama woke up. And
all
then,
the sugar.
All of the sugar cereal. And then.
And then you got to watch a bunch of dudes on so much cocaine.
Yeah.
Their eyes
and you're
bulging
young,
out of
so
their
you didn't
head.
Know, realize that's what's happening,
what
but they were like, and you're like, this guy's fun.
I like his energy.
You don't realize he's an addict.
And then you grow up and you're like,
grow up and their eyes are like,
he was on so
like,
much cocaine,
second.
He shouldn't have been alive.
You definitely snorted cocaine and walked
child,
right
like,
out
these guys
the
are a good time.
Oh, man, that's good.
I love it.
That is all the time, though, that we have this week.
Oh, we didn't get to your voodoo.
My voodoo is still going to be featured on the show. Next week, actually, we have a witchcraft episode. Our good friend Laura LaRue, who you may remember from our reincarnation episode, is coming on, and we're going to be talking herbs, spells, crystals, candle magic, and voodoo.
Can I offer up a doll that looks like my mother if you're going to pierce something?
If you need to.
Is that possible?
Demonstrate anything. Yes. Yeah, of course. Okay, of course. Great. I'll just put it, you know, I brought my whole suitcase. I'll just pop it in there and I'll bring it back to you whenever you need it.
Just a little back pain. I don't want her, you know, she doesn't have to die or anything.
No, just
yet.
Something annoying.
But I mean,
make her
yeah.
kneecap hurt a little bit or something. I don't know. Something minor.
Yeah, or hair loss would be lovely. Something.
A buzzing in her ear that never stops.
Constant buzzing. That's a good one.
Yeah. Or just like gas. Just like so much gas. Oh, that'd be so good.
But you'll never stop hearing about it.
True.
Really, you will suffer.
Yeah, you'll get the call.
Back to Louisiana. Thank you so much for finally coming on the show. Yeah. I've wanted you.
You came to me.
I did. Yes. Dude,
but then you served the best, us and you have nicest crafty. Way, guys. She had all these snacks out.
Look,
she's incredible.
I'm on TV. I know how very
she knows what a crafty looks like.
A craft
okay?
table
you know
is
what a good
to
crafty
good work. If you can, you if just knowing that there's like a chocolate dip granola bar waiting for
right
you on
there.
That table
yeah.
after
you're
you
like,
get
I'll
these
get up
lines
early.
Right. Yeah. It feels right.
It feels good. It feels like I can get through anything. if that chewy dips is behind the finish line.
I should do it.
You guys, listeners, you can follow Jen on Instagram at Jen Kober. That's K-O-B-E-R. But do you have anything else you want to plug?
Well,
at the moment,
I'm doing that show October 20th
at the
LA Improv.
Listeners.
So if you love horror and gore and such, the story I'm telling really is a little bit gory and stuff because it's something I didn't want to see that I ended up seeing.
Ooh,
so it's a pretty funny story.
But the whole show is themed towards
it's
horror
themed.
Movies.
Yes. So that'll be super, super, super fun.
I love it.
After that, I'm really heading out to do a lot of. I know this is going to sound bougie. But I'm doing some island gigs. I'm playing in the Dominican Republic.
Oh,
and,
no big.
Cancun, Turks and Caicos,
jeez.
The Bahamas, Cabo. So
right as this weather starts to cool down, you're hitting the road. You're like, fuck this place.
What happened is they opened everything up, and I travel with all these these are all gay travel groups that hired me to go on these trips.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can only hold back a gay so long before they're like...
They're like, listen, we are vaxxed.
Don't get
wet. We are vaxxed. And we are ready.
I am ready to party.
I have like 3 weeks of just... all over the place kind of shows and travel by myself with strangers.
That's
so it's
a blast.
It is. It's always very enlightening. When I think about it, when I'm like, oh, I'm going by myself, it's kind of like, meh. But then when I get there, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so glad that I can just do whatever the hell I want.
You can do whatever
and I'm not having to be like, can we take a nap?
Right.
Do you mind if today we don't? If we, you know, I don't know about
you have to check
else,
in with whoever made like, the itinerary.
Yeah.
The trip.
It's just me on the road. And then I text and talk to and FaceTime people from an island.
From an island that I'm on, getting paid to be here.
Crystal clear water.
But yeah, if you guys follow her on Instagram, you're always posting information on your shows and obviously your website, which I believe is just JenKober.com, right?
It is.
JenKober.com has her whole calendar there. So you definitely want to watch her if she comes to your town because she's so funny.
You're marvelous.
And you can see me on Hulu on American Horror Story.
Yes, you can.
It's all on the
as
Hulu if you
the
want to go back
manager.
And check that out.
The manager.
And I'm on a bunch of Netflix stuff. Dead to Me. I did 2 episodes of The Purge. That's another scary one. Mm-hmm. I was so scared at the costume fitting.
Police officer,
they had all
right?
those...
detective?
I was a detective.
Yeah.
They had all the masks.
I demoted you again.
you damn it. They had all the masks that they wear on Purge night, like hanging in the costume thing. And I was like... Is there somewhere else,
there
I, can
somewhere else I can
change? Because
on
I
my
feel
clothes.
I'm being watched.
I'm going to need a different area.
So Dead to Me, The Purge, AJ and the Queen, The Righteous Gemstone.
Oh,
yes, I remember.
Good
one. You worked at the...
Piggly Wiggly. Yes. There's
I
a
love
season,
that show.
There's a season 2 coming out as well. Just
yes. goodness.
And Black Monday. I just did an episode of Black Monday on Showtime.
Okay.
With Don Cheadle and Regina Hall. So fantastic.
Very
so
cool.
good.
I hear you were in a jail cell.
I was. I was, and that was just a stretch for me, let me tell you. Yeah. I had to really call up on all the times I'd been in jail.
Well, thank you for joining us, and thank you guys for listening to the show. Make sure you're following us on social media as well, at Keep It Weird Cast. Check out our Patreon at www.patreon.com/3Ws. Make sure you put 3 Ws at the beginning of that, www.patreon.com/keepitweirdpodcast. And check out our merch on sale at www.etsy.com/shop/keepitweirdpodcast. Grab yourself a t-shirt, tank top, or hoodie. Jen, what would be a good sign-off this week?
I think we should leave them with our two lessons, which is don't do drugs by yourself.
No drugs. Right? Alone.
Do drugs with a buddy.
With a guide.
With a buddy.
And only put curses on your mother if she doesn't talk to you.
That's right. And only if you use voodoo dolls on people that can't
complain
and not contact you in any way.
Perfect.
And also keep it weird.
Let's do it.
Sorry, I'm just gonna take these out so I don't have a rapper noise. There we go. Now we're good. That would have been so annoying. You're like, hi, weirdos. Okay, I'm ready.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.